Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It's a delight to be with you. As always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be with you.
Great to be here, too. So we're going to continue this conversation. We're on the second week of Love Wisdom. And listeners, you know, I just want to, for a moment, talk about how beautiful the unfolding of our month-to-month themes seem to be. You know, Dorothy, remember we were on forgiveness. I believe it was in October, November, and it was when a lot of these allegations of sexual assault and so much was coming to the surface, and we had such an incredible conversation about forgiveness and the journey that that is and the work that it entails and the interior sort of space that that journey to forgiveness really takes one on. And it was so apropos that culture just seemed to deliver that. Well, you know, we seem to still be in that theme. We then moved into insight, you know, as sometimes insight arises as we move through a journey of sort of transformation as forgiveness can be. There are insights that come to us and then we put them to use. And it seems like love wisdom is this perfect theme to follow. And I have to say, I watched the Golden Globes and saw Oprah's speech, and there was so much wisdom, so much about love wisdom within that speech. And I look forward to discussing that on this show because it seems so apropos. There seemed to be so much within that speech that truly defined this combination of love, wisdom. How does that sound?
That sounds great, Steve. And I think for those of our listeners that weren't with us last week, it might help to just comment for a moment, if I may, about why we put love and wisdom together.
Yes.
In the ageless wisdom, they are together. But love is that attractive energy, and wisdom is the sound judgment of what we do with that attractive energy. So the energy itself is not enough. We need to apply it in some way. And so putting love and wisdom together gives us that application of what we do with the energy that is available to us.
And they both have so much to do with relation, I find, that love is this relationship that we have with others in a very, you know, not so much of a personal sort of intimate kind of love, but more of an interconnectedness, interdependence. And it's that recognition of the truth of our interconnectedness and an understanding of that that leads to wisdom. And it's the livingness of those together that really is the energy of love wisdom itself, indeed. Beautiful.
So I have a couple of quotes to start us off today, Steve.
Wonderful.
And then I know you're going to share with us some quotes from Oprah Winfrey's talk. But just to set the context about why love wisdom is important, why we need to strengthen it. I've got two from the Dalai Lama. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. As someone who's grown up in an environment where mosquito bites are frequent and very painful. I just love that quote.
So Dorothy, before you read the second one, I just want to say what's so beautiful about quotes is that you know, there's at first glance or at first listen, you know, you sort of understand the meaning of that. You know, if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. And it just keeps delivering its message again and again and deeper and deeper. And isn't that the beauty of a quote? You know, that's the wisdom behind a quote, is the more you sit with it, it really starts to resonate on a very, you know, a very meaningful level. It's lovely.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's another one to resonate from Albert Einstein. The world is a dangerous place, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. Mm. And I think that that's extremely apropos to, it's apropos to our particular environment right now, but also why love wisdom is so critical, to be able to see clearly how the energy that connects us operates and how we can apply it in ways that will move us forward in a positive direction.
Yes, and it's within that doing something about it, right, that that the evil comes undone. So I love that there's even, you know, the danger is not the evil itself, but again, yeah.
It's not doing.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. How often we have Einstein quotes, right? He's a gem, and that's exactly that idea of a something refined, right? He's got such a refined intelligence. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and I also, just to give you a segue into talking about the talk that Oprah gave. One of the comments that she made afterwards was the power of noticing people, you know, of actually seeing people for who they are. And all of us can do that. That does not take a special talent. There's not just a special set of individuals who are able to do that. But we can all do it, and it is a small thing, and yet it is so empowering. You know, I know for myself that sense of actually being seen, not being viewed in some kind of stereotype or for only one aspect of who I am, but really being seen for all of me, that is an expression from someone else of that love, wisdom, energy.
Absolutely. It makes me think of the saying, seeing eye to eye, you know, that we actually connect in that way. We actually connect, eye being sort of the window to the soul. Like, can we truly see another? Can we take the time to notice them? And I love as well, she was talking about understanding that we all also have the need to be seen and to be met. And that is common amongst all of us. And that it was her sort of capacity to understand that in another that made her able to interview people who had either committed horrible crimes or lived through terrible circumstances. And it brings you back, it brings us back to that Einstein quote, right, Dorothy, that, you know, that it's not because of the evil people, which is almost saying, like, it's not to judge them, and it's not to, It is the dangerous place to not do anything about it, which is actually to undo that. And sometimes that is about seeing and meeting and understanding and lifting somebody up. It's not to say that that the wrongs people do should be forgiven, as we've said, or should be, you know, looked beyond. But it's in the doing nothing and in actually not seeing people for their truth and seeing beyond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, beautiful. I think also, yeah, and putting it from a positive perspective, recognizing that we each have our own individual, unique lives, and we each have a life purpose. And we don't necessarily know what another person's life purpose is. We don't know, you know, how effective they're being in achieving that. That's not really our business. But what is our business is to be curious about what somebody else's life is all about and not just assume that we know who they are and what they are. One of the things that I'm appreciating right now about living in a small community, because I've lived in very large urban areas, and you know, I've lived in villages. I'm in a small coastal community right now, and I have the opportunity to meet people in a variety of different places instead of just in one place. So, for example, the woman that I see at the post office that I get packages from, I also see her in other places in the community where she's playing other roles. So I don't think of her just as a postal worker. I think of her as herself, a complex human being. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yes, yes. It's beautiful. And I think that's what, it's why I enjoy these awards shows so much, because they really do, speaking about the Golden Globes and that speech that Oprah gave, like going to that, is that they tell the stories of their human experience. You know, that each and every one of us is valuable. Our story is valuable, that nobody's life is too small or should go unnoticed, and that somebody is not just a postal worker, that we are all, as you say, very complex beings. I think it's what I love about, it's what I loved about living in New York City, because there's just such a wide variety. You know, diversity and variety is the stuff of life. It is a part of life on Earth. It is one of the qualities of life on Earth, and it's to be explored. And as you say, be curious about and feel wonder in the face of. And it's what I just love about Hollywood is they celebrate that. They celebrate the individual story, the human story, and this sort of unique experience that we're all facets of this diamond of human existence. So we're already at a break, Dorothy.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I know. When we come back, I'm sure listeners, you've all heard about this speech. I wanted to talk about it, but goodness, it seems to be all over the news, and now rumors she's going to run for president. So it's funny how these things take off, but I think there's much to speak about the content of that and its relation to love, wisdom. So more on that when we come right back.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. Before we move on with our discussion, let's talk a little bit about Spirit Fire Radio and how it came about. Dorothy, would you like to lead that revelation?
Sure. So Steve and I are each with educational nonprofit organizations. The organization I'm with is the School for Esoteric Studies. You can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We provide esoteric discipleship training for persons with a spiritual practice who want to deepen that practice. And we do it through study, meditation, and service. And a couple of years ago, we became aware that while we were doing activities ourselves, for the benefit of our students and our members, that we were, as with many other organizations, operating on our own, not as part of any collaborative effort. And one of the things that's important in spiritual development is group work, is reaching out and collaborating with people from many different perspectives. And so we purposely decided to undertake an intergroup collaboration initiative. You can find it on our website at esotericstudies.net if you're interested if you're with an organization that would be interested in collaborating with us. But one of our really special collaborators is Spirit Fire. We decided that we could do some joint projects together, and this is the first one, this collaboration to do Spirit Fire Radio. And I'm very, very grateful that when Steve and I met, that he was interested in moving forward with the collaboration. And it's been very, very interesting and I hope useful to people.
Yes, very rich experience indeed, which is really, you know, co-creation is so wonderful, really, when you really get into collaboration, cooperation, co-creation, all of those co-words, you know, just great stuff happens if you've got an open mind and you've got a project. So it's really been lovely. Spirit Fire is also an educational nonprofit, and we are dedicated to fostering awareness in everyday life and generating consciousness. We do that through our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. We just started a brand new round. It's a free online 14-step, 14-week meditation practice. So if you are new to meditation or you'd like a different training on the meditation cushion, we just began a brand new round, and you can find that at spiritfire.com under meditation. We've also got lots of online programs and a retreat center in Western Massachusetts, all dedicated to generating consciousness in everyday life. So consciousness, Dorothy, brings us back to wisdom and love,
yes.
Right? A very particular aspect of consciousness.
Well, and I wanted to comment, you know, we've been talking about the power of noticing someone, and the power of feeling that one is seen, which is a particular modality. But there's also the power of hearing the other person, hearing the life story. I know that for myself, oftentimes, to clarify a particular issue or what's important to me, I find it very useful to talk with other people, because in the talking, in the questioning, it becomes clearer to me. And there's a book, it's an older book now, but by Nell Morton, called The Journey is Home. And in it, she develops the idea that we hear each other into existence, which I think is such a beautiful image.
Mm. Yeah, we have to be open, right, and receptive. So often, even as somebody starts to talk, we right away create our own storyline or a response right away that becomes our own thought forms generated, and not actually creating the time and space and allowing someone to be, you know, to really hear them in the fullest. We do that exercise in some of our meditation retreats where we just spend 5 minutes each, where we just sit and listen to somebody speak for 5 minutes about anything. But you know, for those 5 minutes, you're just there to listen to them and receive them. And it's such a powerful experience for everybody, because you don't realize how often you're either not fully heard, or that you just take the time to do nothing but listen with no agenda, but to receive somebody in their fullness. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It reminds me as well of, you know, much of that speech was about the fact that women so often feel that their details or their experience, really the details of their experience, will fall on ears that really either don't care, will do nothing about it, or that they may even become victims of, a harassment or something that has happened to them. And that Oprah even said that, you know, it is on every man who chooses to listen, that's as important as the women who would speak up and say me too. So listening was definitely a component there, right?
Absolutely. And it's part of, I think, what's become clear over the last couple of months is the importance of believing somebody. You know, you're listening to them and believing them. And that's one of the reasons why many women don't speak up when they are abused in any one of a number of ways, is not only the fear of reprisals, but simply the fear of not being believed. And so having someone say, I hear you, I believe you, is a very important dynamic. I'd like to link this back, Steve, to conversations we've had before about a moral compass, because I feel like in this particular environment, at least in the United States, the whole idea of truth, of an ethical standard, gets glossed over or pushed aside. Everything is relative. Everything is fake, unless it's what you particularly want it to be. And so I think part of hearing and believing is part of that expression of the love, wisdom, energy is critical in strengthening our moral compass.
Yes, absolutely. And, speaking one's truth was a huge aspect of that. I know in that speech, Oprah was saying that the media, you know, she has this respect for the media, who's under siege because of their dedication to uncovering the absolute truth. So, you know, it's as if these days, it feels sometimes like there just is no moral compass, that it's just manipulation of facts. And it comes from a place of, you know, whenever there's manipulation, it's somebody wanting to steer it their way. They've got a personal agenda. And that often means their moral compass is quite off. You know, it's where truth, the relationship between truth and love, wisdom, lies, I believe, in realizing that we are all part of this one life, and that to speak the absolute truth means that others will recognize it and it will be meaningful to them and be in relation to them. So it just seems like, these days it certainly gets stretched where we're not even sure what the truth is these days.
Well, and that's, you know, if you go back to the concept of love, wisdom, the wisdom component is the sound judgment, right? It's what we do with the energy, what we do about particular situations. And that is what our moral compass is about. It is what will steer us accurately in terms of what is the wise course, what is the best for the common good. And whenever we back off of that, whenever we disbelieve, when we discount, when we ignore, when we overlook, we chip away at that moral compass so that we no longer have that strong sense of connection to the all and the appropriate way to behave in order to respect and treat others with dignity.
Yeah, and discernment's an aspect of that too, right? I mean, it does take,
absolutely.
You know, we spent a whole month talking about discernment, and it really does take time. You know, we often talk about doing something, like you've got to really get in the game. You know, you've got to experience it, you've got to get in it and discern it, discern your personal truth, and from that, you know, we develop our own moral compass. But it really is from observing, of noticing, and again, as you say, as Oprah said in that interview, one of the greatest lessons was to really watch someone, observe them, and know that people will present themselves, their behavior will present their truth. And you know, if we see someone that's that's moral compass appears to be off, if their behavior doesn't quite match their words, that take note, you know, and sometimes someone's revealing their truth in ways that we need to pay attention to. Yeah.
Well, and discernment takes not only time, it takes effort, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to just kind of slide through. It's harder to actually attend. It takes effort to listen carefully and to see clearly.
Yes, yes. To arrive at wisdom. Dorothy, we're at another break. Listeners, we'll be back just after these messages.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Set your intention for 2018 at Spirit Fire's annual New Year's Meditation Retreat. Find yourself at the peaceful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts this January for a weekend of meditation, amazing food, and planning. planning to have the most exciting year ever. Visit upcoming events at spiritfire.com for more info. Happy meditating!
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are continuing our discussion on love wisdom. Dorothy, I know you wanted to talk about detachment a bit and its relation to love wisdom. Do you want to lead that off?
Sure. You know, when we talk about wise application of energy, which is what love wisdom is about, We need to be careful about what our own motivation is, what our own intention is. When we are attached to a particular outcome or to seeing someone in a particular way or to assuming that someone has particular motivations, then we run the danger of distorting our actual perception of the situations so that it fits in with our vested interests. And once you start looking through this lens, you can notice how vested interests play out. What detachment does is it allows us to take a step back and look without that sense of things have to be my way, or I have to get something out of it, or what's in it for me. People talk about self-interest as being a driving motivator. Well, I think it is for a lot of people, but I don't think it's the only motivator, and I don't think it's necessarily the primary motivator. I may choose a particular action because I believe it will help move things forward, and it will do that in a way that feels appropriate to me. So yes, I have my own perspective. I have my own, if you will, vested interest. But my interest needs to be beyond myself in order to be operating from a position of healthy detachment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. It reminds me of our conversations about unconditional love, you know, since mm-hmm. we're with love, that idea of vested interest and this idea of conditions, you know, I would love you if you only this or that, or if only this were this way, then I could this. it all becomes very egocentric. It all becomes very self-centered when we put conditions on anything. So we need to have a detachment, right, from the conditions or from a particular focus on an outcome that would serve us exactly. And then it creates space, and it allows for noticing, it allows for considering another, and it allows for being in presence and allowing somebody else that space. Yeah.
We also talked about it when we were talking about forgiveness. Don't you remember? We talked about the importance of not placing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying, you know, I'll forgive you if you do blah, blah, blah. That forgiveness is about untangling or releasing or letting go of that knot of energy that's gotten tied up. And we do it really for ourselves so that we're part of the energy flow. And whether or not someone chooses to change or behave differently may determine whether we choose to have an ongoing relationship with them. But it can't be a condition of forgiveness.
Right. I find that there's something about contraction and restriction. You know, with conditions, we can just feel into it that we're contracting and constricting. Whereas when we think of letting go, when we think of untangling, as you say, there's space. We create space. And with detachment, mm-hmm. we're doing the same thing. We create space. And it mm-hmm. seems to me it's such an aspect of love wisdom, is this idea of creating space so we can notice relationship. You know, it's really love wisdom is all about relationship. Wisdom is really about the relationship of certain words. You know, this, even the quote you said at the beginning about making a difference in the size of a mosquito, we kind of almost need to step back to really get the fullness of the meaning behind that and really realize, small things can be really big things. And then give it space to realize how in our lives this idea of small things or big things actually resonates with us. And it's the same way with people. When we put conditions on them, when we hold them in such a, you know, a small confined space, there's no room to really appreciate not only them, but our relationship between, you know, one another and have empathy, compassion. All of those things take space. They take detachment. You know, they take unconditional response to somebody. And so, you know, it's so important there, that idea of detachment and its relation, not only to love, but to wisdom, just to create space to allow, I find.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to distinguish, though, between conditions and ground rules, because the conditions, the way we've been talking about conditions, they are constricting. But ground rules can actually create an environment where we can relax. We know where the boundaries are. We know we have a shared set of expectations for how things are going to go. And that can be very freeing. That can actually allow us to mm-hmm. see and be seen, to hear and be heard. And
yeah.
I'm reminded of a movie, I think it was called the Wedding Guest, where the protagonist, the woman, hires a male escort to go with her to her sister's wedding, and there's an interaction between them where she's pushing him on, you know, what is it that you offer, what is it that you do, and he stands very close to her, and he says, "Close your eyes," and then he says, "You are safe. I will not kiss you. I will not touch you. You are completely safe." And as a woman watching that and knowing how it feels to have a male intrude in my space or touch me in a way that's unwanted, and how frequent that is, you know, how expected that is, to have that sense, and you can see her response to it, which is just amazing, to be in that kind of space and know that she was completely safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Liberating. You can sense the freedom there, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Beautiful, beautiful. I just wanted to mention one thing, you know, while we're talking about detachment and this, you know, going back to this idea of a vested interest, just because I pulled a quote from that interview with Oprah after the speech, and they asked her, you know, what wisdom could she pass on? I found it interesting that they asked, the word wisdom kept coming up, and they asked what wisdom she could pass on, and she basically said, align your personality with your soul. I thought that was amazing that on prime time, you know, you're hearing align your personality with your soul, which we say all the time in esoteric circles, but she said, you know, if you're fixated, you know, they were asking, somebody was asking, they had actors there that were a part of a program that allowed them to be part of the Golden Globes. And they said, what advice do you have? What wisdom could you pass on to us as young actors? And she said, if you think it'll make you money, if you think it's going to be a hit, or if you think it might get you some level of attention or success, let it go. You know, that isn't what gets it. The success, she says, that brought her to that moment is working from her innermost, from the interior of herself, from the soul, so to speak. So once again, it's this idea of, you know, you've got to let go of this vested interest that's on a personality level, that's on a me only. But what is your passion? What is your higher calling? What might be, you know, where does your inspiration come from on high? Much like, you know, saying to somebody, you are fate. You know, it's like you can feel the high vibration of that, and operating from that level of high vibration, which is where you'll find your success. So it reminds me again of detachment, detaching from the immediacy and the small things, and the what do I get out of this, to mm-hmm. you know, what can I bring forward, or even mm-hmm. what can I bring forward in another, which was the result mm-hmm. of your instance with the movie. Yeah.
And I think one of the difficulties that I and perhaps many others are having with the current American president is that he has this transactional style of, you know, it's a very self-interest focused. What am I going to get out of it? If I'm not going to get anything out of it, then I'm not interested. I'm going to end it. As opposed to thinking about the broader good, which is actually part of his responsibility, is to think more broadly than that.
Well, and glorifying that, not only you know, unabashedly celebrating that aspect of himself and basically saying, well, the country should be this way. Look what it's done for me. It can do that for you. It can do that for the country. We should all live this sort of completely self-centered, you know, you want to get what I have? Well, get selfish is more or less what he's saying, you know?
Right.
And we just learned time and time again.
And don't pay taxes, right?
Yeah, find a way. Hooray. You know, one day you could be just like me and not pay taxes. Yeah. It's interesting. It brings us to the common good, right, Dorothy? We're going to talk about that when we come back. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about our good old president, weren't we, Dorothy? We tend to do that every now and again on the show. But, you know, we wanted to talk about the relationship between love, wisdom, and common good. And, you know, just again to say it is just so necessary to be able to consider another. And it certainly does feel like the vibration these days, you know, the message these days is look out for number one. And there's not a lot of wisdom in that, right?
That's right. And the one of the reasons why it's important for us to strengthen our expression of love wisdom is in order to enhance the common good, in order to move things forward for the world as a whole. And thereby benefit ourselves, not move things forward for ourselves, and possibly there's some spillover for other people.
Right. I mean, we are in it together. There are no two ways about it.
And yeah. It doesn't mean that, I mean, looking out for what's going to work well for the whole and what will work well for you can go in tandem, and that's, I think, one of our challenges. I don't know if I've shared this story on the show before, Steve, but I'd like to just give it as an example because it's stuck with me. When I was starting out as a psychology professor, when I was teaching in academia, I was given responsibility for the psychology services at a local clinic. It was a clinic that offered medical, dental, psychological services all together. And so psychological services were being added. And when I went out to the clinic building, they had given us a space that was the staff lounge. It was a nice room with window, nice light, and then a little bar and a kitchen. And the person who showed it to me, I could feel the energy was not all that great. And I looked at the space, and if you're going to meet and have confidential conversations with people, it was not an ideal space at all. So I walked around the clinic, and I found two small rooms that were being used to, you know, store stuff in. They weren't really needed for storage, but they were kind of extra rooms. They did not have windows. They would just be large enough for a table and two chairs. And I went back to the director of the clinic and I said, you know, what I'd really like to do is to have those two rooms instead. And he was completely startled. He said, but this is a much better space. I said, yeah, but it's a space that really works well as a staff lounge. And don't you like having a staff lounge? Because we can make use of these other two rooms just fine. And it was an excellent solution. It met our needs. It made the staff very happy. It meant that in terms of my being able to work well with the rest of the staff, they were more than happy to do anything that would be helpful because I had done something for them. I had given them back something that they really didn't want to lose. And that example always stayed with me because technically was the first space, the staff lounge, a more attractive space, a nice light, all that? Yes. But it didn't, but by not taking it, I actually reached a solution that was a win-win for both. You know what I mean?
I do. But I'd love to also hear a few words about its explicit relationship to love wisdom. I mean, I've got certainly my ideas, but I just want to hear you put it into words because I know you'll say it beautifully.
Well, I think in thinking about it and then in arriving at a solution, what I was doing was I was operating from the position of what can work best for all of us.
Yeah.
And what is a wise way of approaching that? How can I put that energy of we are all in this together into operation? And that's, to me, the link to love wisdom.
Beautiful. Because it made me think right away of heart-mind in a very almost rote way, that the heart is a system of circulation. You know, it's constantly connecting and it's constantly delivering. It's constantly moving our blood and delivering oxygen and returning the carbon dioxide. It's constantly moving, as is our mind. You know, it is constantly making connections and synapses, and we've got to put it in motion. We've got to keep it working. And within that, I could feel your heart in that you really wanted everybody to be happy, and there was consideration for the other people who might lose their lounge. There was consideration for everybody having a workspace that would make sense for everybody. There's lots of heart there, and heart not only in terms of caring, but heart in terms of everybody getting what they need in terms of circulation, and then the mind in terms of options, generating options. Well, this might not work, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep, you know, let's look further. Let's try to, you know, let's create space again. Let's not get attached to this. Let's create options, and options create optimism, and optimism creates hope, which creates solutions. So it's cool. It sort of, to me, illustrates that beautiful, that they are one and the same, this idea of love, wisdom, and heart, mind. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Beautiful. I love that story. Yes, indeed. It just takes time. We sometimes just have to allow it to unfold, right?
Well, it also relates to what we were talking about before the break in terms of attachment or detachment, that if you're attached to a single solution, that it has to be this way, then you constrict yourself. You're not free to consider a wider range of options. And when you are open, you know, when you think about it from the perspective of, as you were saying, of the heart, how is it that we can, as a connected group, move forward together? Then you start to come up with options that you might not have thought of initially, but that actually
exactly
work well for everyone.
Exactly. But it really is also, Dorothy, correct about not only creating space, but really tapping into that idea of group, to somehow keeping that within your periphery, that what will be best for the all? What is, you know, how can I see this situation, or see, you know, any experience we have, you know, just by considering it from a little broader perspective, it brings in that love wisdom, and it allows for intuition and creativity, if we think of the wisdom aspect, to drop in. We've talked about that quite a bit when we talked about intuition. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, Dorothy, we're about at the end of the show. I just want to tell listeners that, you know, next week we're going to talk about the barriers to expressing love wisdom, which is always interesting. I find we find out so much about something when we talk about what it's not, right? Or what gets in its way. So next week we're going to talk about the barriers to love wisdom. I look forward to that. And just once again, remind listeners that if you'd like to listen to some past shows, we've had some wonderful topics throughout the year, just go to spiritfireradio.com or to Transformation Talk Radio. Dorothy.
And if you'd like more about our organizations, go to spiritfire.com or esotericstudies.net.
Indeed. Beautiful. Any final words on love wisdom today?
I look forward to next week, because I think that it's in order to strengthen our expression, we need to be aware of what stands in our way. That's going to be an interesting conversation.
It is. I am open and receptive to all that comes our way during that discussion from the heart. Beautiful to be with you again, Dorothy. And thank you, listeners. We will be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.